At this anniversary, besides seeing people that we had not seen for 50 years, in fact, we saw Dr. Dennis Price. He and I graduated from Bob Jones together, went on to Grace Seminary together. My wife used to feed him at seminary.
And he remembers all that, and he was able to come. And what a joy it was to see him. He's lost a little bit of hair. But we had a great time with the people there. Some of them we hadn't seen for 50 years. Some of them we hadn't seen for 5 or 10 years. But it was just great to be there. And we're glad that we can share that with you. Three people that were there at this anniversary banquet was Pastor Simon Vondeau and Joseph and Sylviane Ella. And I just want to say a little bit before they come and give their testimonies. I'm going to switch a little bit here. I'm warning Joseph and Sylviane now so that they will be prepared. I'm going to have Sylviane give her testimony first, and Joseph will give his testimony second. And I'm doing that because that chronologically is the way they come to know Christ. Sylviane came to know Christ first, and I'll never forget the time when Betty and I and Sylviane were having devotions, family devotions together. That was our habit at about 8 o'clock every evening. And we informed Sylviane that she couldn't marry Joseph. And that started a crying session. And believe me, we all cried. And we cried and cried and cried. And so I explained to her from the Word of God that someone who is a born-again Christian should not marry someone who is in the family of the devil. And she didn't like that term either. And she had been going with him for years. In fact, she started going with him when she was 13. And she was about 18 now, so it was quite a few years that she had been going to him. And she informed him of the fact that he was the most handsome Cameroonian in the entire country. And she informed him that, she informed us of all the wonderful things about Joseph. And I said, well, that may be true, but we still have to follow God's word. And I asked her to write him a letter. She said, I'm not going to write him a letter and say I won't marry him. I didn't say that. I said, write him a letter and just tell him what the Bible says. That's all you have to do. Well, she did. She wrote him a letter. And then in the letter, she also said that I'm now saved. I have been born again by the Spirit of God. Well, he's going to tell you what his reaction was to that kind of information. But after Sylviane came to know the Lord, she was praying and praying and praying that Joseph would come to know the Lord. And of course, you all know the story already. You know the end. That he did. And they're two gems of his grace, and we thank God for them. Now, what are they doing today? Well, they went through a long period of time. Some of you already know that Sylviane graduated from Clearwater Christian College. And many times there was discouragement. They had promises from a lot of people to support them, and those promises fell through, and that was discouraging to her. And a couple of times she even said, Dad, that she wanted to go home. She was just didn't feel like that she could go on, and I informed her that we didn't have a ticket to send her back to Cameroon, so she had to stay, and which was true, by the way. And they went on, as you know, to Grenada, and then from there, Saint Vincent. I guess you say Saint Vincent. And then from there to England. It's a long story and lots of years. But she made it. And she came to Cameroon. By the way, most Cameroonians, let's be honest, most Cameroonians who receive their doctorate, their MD, in the States or in England, never go back to Cameroon. It's no fun. They know that they can make lots of money, that they can send money back to their family. Their families want them to stay in the States, want them to stay in England. But they went back because God had called them to a ministry, and they were convinced that God wanted them to have that ministry in Cameroon. And many times it was Joseph that said to Sylviane, keep on keeping on. Oh, let's go back. And Joseph would say, nope, we're not going back. And by the way, we've been in Africa 50 years. Joseph is very unusual. He is an African man. He graduated first in his class from the University of Chang, was given a government position, not on the low level to begin, but already on a high level, had a wonderful salary, would move on up without a doubt, all the way up. He gave it all up for Christ. And to help his wife to get through her doctorate. And he kept on and kept on and kept on. Lots of stories. But I'm real happy to be able to say to you today that they are trophies of his grace and that they are serving Christ at Fomacop. They live right next to us out there. And Joseph is now the director of the Grace Bible Mission in Cameroon. He's responsible not only for all the maintenance and the finances of the Fomacop Seminary and Medical Clinic, but he's also responsible to oversee all the activities in Cameroon. Whereas Sylviane is the director of the medical clinic. Some of you may know that it was CWE of Tampa, Florida that built that medical clinic. And she can explain to you why we need to add another room or two to the medical clinic. But she's going to come first and give her testimony of how she came to know Christ and how the Lord directed her life until finally she got to the field, June of 2005, and that she has been there now just a little over 6 months. And then how, after she finishes, we'll have Joseph come and get his testimony as well. And then we're going to have time for questions.
I don't know how I can squeeze in probably 10 minutes. I was born in a Christian home, and I went to church. I sang in a choir, and I thought I was a Christian until I graduated from high school. So when I graduated from high school, Dr. Bob Jr. came to Cameroon, and because my dad was taking care of the eating, so my dad asked him if I can go to Bob Jr. and take medical classes. But I didn't speak English. He said yes, but I didn't speak English. So he turned around and told Dr. Hawking to help me in English. So I moved to the home. I don't remember the year. That was too long ago. I think it was in 91 or 92. So I moved to the home, and as soon as I walked there, my parents were pretty strict. We went to church, and every Sunday my mom would close the door, even if you were not ready when it was time for church. She would lock her doors. If you don't want to go to church, you stay outside. So I thought that was being a Christian, going to church and singing the choir. So when I moved to the Hawkins, the first thing he tells me is, no Bible, no breakfast. So you couldn't eat the breakfast without reading your Bible. So every morning we had a devotion. Every evening I ate, we had devotion. So everything was Bible. You wake up in the morning, Bible. You wake up at noon, God, Bible, God, and Bible. So you got tired of hearing about God and the Bible. So every evening we had a devotion and always end up with the word salvation. And one day, as we were talking about marriage, and that was my favorite subject, so I came to know the Lord. I gave God my life, and I actually said, God, I'll serve you that day. So it was hard because I had Joe. Yeah, but we cried, but we stopped praying. I pray hard every day. But after I got saved, I was supposed to go to Bob Jones University. But the year I was supposed to go, I didn't get the scholarship. They wrote to me, they said, oh, you did not get the scholarship. You can't come this year. Fortunately, Mom and Dad came to Fuller, and they heard about Clearwater Christian, and Clearwater Christian gave me a full tuition scholarship. So the year the Lord closed the door for Bob Jones, he opened the door for Clearwater. And I thank God for it because it was a smaller school and I didn't speak any English. And it was hard. When I got there, I didn't speak. I couldn't understand anything. You Americans speak so fast. Yeah. So it was really tough. I wanted to go home. I cried. I called Dad. I said, I want to go home. No, too bad. We don't have a plane ticket for you to come back. So I stuck to it with God's help and the staff at Clearwater, the students, the roommates, the volleyball team. I joined the volleyball team. I was the manager. And in 3 months, with God's help, I was fluent in English. And it was hard, but God was always there, taking care of me. And after I passed the English, I can tell you, when I had a problem with English, I started with this joke. What do you call somebody who speaks three languages? Trilingual. What do you call somebody who speaks three languages? And what do you call somebody who speaks one language? An American. Yeah, because when I was in Coldwater, most kids thought I was stupid because I didn't speak English, and it was pretty hard. Yeah, but math was good. 1 + 1 = 2, even in English, so it was so easy for me to get the grades in math. So after I graduated from Clearwater, I think that 2 days after we got married, just after graduation, because it was vacation time, so I didn't want everybody to leave. So 2 days after I graduated, we got married, and we were looking forward to go to medical school. I started applying for the MCAT. I couldn't pass the MCAT because I couldn't write English properly. And I did that twice, and I gave up. I said, God, I'm not going to medical school anymore. So the same year I said, I'm not going to medical school. God, I don't know how these people got my name, St. George Medical School in Grenada, sent me a note saying, we'll be glad to have you, Clearwater, in Grenada, if you have a 3.8 average, and you have a new international school, we're going to give you 50% tuition scholarship. So I had the grade. I was an international student. And they just gave me one condition, just to take 1 year of English while I was there, because I was French speaking. So we end up in Grenada. Before we got to Grenada, we start raising the money. So we were supposed to raise at least $1,000 a month, but we couldn't. We couldn't. We raised probably $500, but we decided to go. So we went to Grenada with the $500. But after 3 months there, 90% of people who were supporting us dropped us out. So it was tough. It was hard. It was heartbreaking. But I always cried. I said, God, I don't know if this is your will. I go to Joe and said, Joe, why are we torturing ourselves? Let's just go home and do like everybody else is doing. No, we're not going home. We're finishing what God has called us to do, and we're going to finish this. And I think I went to him like 3 times. I was so discouraged. School was not as bad because I really like medicine. I really like biology and all this stuff. School was not that hard, but the life surrounding all the school, we had an 8-month-old baby we had to feed. Joe couldn't find a job and all this stuff, and it was hard, and the people were not supporting us. But saying that, every time we had the problem, at the end, I remember one day we were supposed to pay rent, and we didn't have any food on the table. The day before we were supposed to pay rent, God provided the money. So it was like that all through medical school. So when we finished in Grenada, we went to St. Vincent, that's another island, and we spent another 4 months there before we came back to the U.S. And then when we came back to U.S. to prepare for the board, we realized that Donnie, the son we had, was autistic. So I took 2 years off medical school to teach him. He was not potty training, he was not speaking, he was not pointing or anything. So we bought a curriculum for Bob Jones and we started teaching him. And for those 2 years, he was able to read, speak little, because they don't really speak to you. They just answer questions, yes, no, maybe no. So he was able to speak, write, read. In just those 2 years, he was young. God is good. And he was not potty trained until we moved to England. And when we moved to England, they said that if we move there because he's autistic, he's going to regress and stuff. The contrary, God was there. When we got there, we didn't bother about the potty training. He was trained. God trained him. So we thank the Lord for whatever he has done. So after we left England, we finished in England June 10th, but we left June 24th to go back to Cameroon. Now we're back in Cameroon 6 months, and I'm working like Dr. Hawking told you, but we really need your prayers. We really need your help. The clinic when I got there was really in bad shape. So I got scared again and said, God, where have you called me? I could have stayed in England and make more money. Yeah. No, I was not tempted to doing that. And we cleaned it all up. We put all the nice stuff. We planted flowers. And by before we got there, they told us that they had only 200 patients from January to July. But from August to December, we had 1,000 patients. So God is blessing, but we need material. We need medical supplies. We need medicines. We need surgical equipment. It's empty. We don't have anything. So when I got there, because I didn't know the system, it was foreign to me too. So I got there. I teamed up with a bunch of doctors from the district hospital to see how they do things. So I do surgery with them so I can learn how they do stuff without anything. The first time I walked to the surgical room, I almost panicked. I almost passed out because almost everything they do is local. Cesarean, local. Yep, hernias, local. So we were working on this guy, and he grabbed my hand, so I almost passed out. But that's how it is. They don't have many anesthesiologists, so they're scared to put people under, yeah, and have all these troubles if they don't know what to do. But it's working. So we're learning a lot, but we really need your prayers. And we thank you guys for whoever was praying for us, and God has blessed us. And but we still need your prayers. It's not finished yet. It's just the beginning. So we thank you guys for being here.
It's a privilege for me to be standing here, really far away from Africa, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I see the joys on everybody's face this morning, and you know that's where we need to be, because out there is not the same thing. Yeah, I'm gonna just try to cut short because of the time. I'm also glad to testify because you know God is good. There's something I was just thinking. It looks like the number 13 is my favorite number. I met my wife when she was 13 years old. I got saved. I'm a 13 years old Christian. So, what to tell you is that it was amazing the way God brought me in His family. And like I said, I met her when she was too little. I was in high school already. No, in college, last year in college already, back home. So I met her and we were friends. And then in the meantime, she moved to Dr. Hawking and Mrs. Hawking. And it's something I would like to tell you. When I met her, she was a very smart girl. It was in a party. I met her and we talked, and it was just showing that she was smart. I was a little bit, you know, mature than her, so I knew what is somebody, you know, a mature person. And especially was in a country where a lot of kids were acting kind of wild, but she was quiet and, you know, civilized. So even though she was 13, I was just attracted to her. So I went to her and talked to her, and she told me so many nice things. Then I decided to become her friend, and she said, "Yeah, you can become my friend." So she gave me her address. I gave her mine. So I went to because I was far away from the area where they were living. So at the beginning of the school year, I wrote the first letter. She wrote the letter back. When I discovered on the letter was that the letter was even more organized, mature than even when we were talking together. I'm like, this girl is something. This is, you know, somebody that I truly have to be friends with. So we start writing each other like that. And then when she was about 18 years old, we were talking. And then she told me, you know what? I said, you know, those first letter, that bunch of letters that I used to send to you, I was not the one writing them. I said, what do you mean? She said, every time you send me a letter, I gave it to my mom. And my mom read the letter and, you know, answered it. I would just copy the letter and send it back to you. I said, now I understand why. And then she said, now it's my own ideas. So it's not. So, okay. So in the meantime, she moved to Dr. Hawking, and I was there. And she wrote to me and said, I moved from my parent somewhere. He gave me the name of the place. I'm like, anyway, no problem. So I came back to visit them. When I got to them, when I got to that area, it took me, it was a campus, a seminary right now. That's here. And I went there and said, I came to, you know, pay a visit to my friend. And he said to me, that's good, but in one condition, you have to stay off campus because, you know, you cannot stay here. What's going on? When I used to go to her, you know, I used to stay with her parents, you know, in the house. They're very nice people, too. But he said to me, no, you cannot stay in here. We're going to find a place for you out there, and you can come and, you know, talk to her and go. Okay, no problem. But I was kind of shocked, you know, to be coming far away to see her then. In the meantime, you know, we stay like that, and I went back to my school, and one day I tried to, you know, just got everything. I get to school, and I received a letter from her. She said to me, you know what? I got saved. I'm born again. Right now I'm already born again, and what I can tell you is that you have to think about that because we all need to be born again. Okay, what kind of letter is that? What does that mean? The problem was that when I used to go to the house, they were all Christian for me because they used to go to church saying, you know, even I remember when she said, can you go to church with us? You know, I was kind of like, you know, that's not my thing. The problem was, you know, I was born in a non-Christian family. You know, I didn't really care about the Lord. Nobody really told me about it. And then when I was progressing in school, I got a lot of influence from all the religion, and then I got scared. I didn't want to have, because people said a lot about, you know, religions, you know, and everybody used to come to me and try to show me how his religion is good. So I was like, you know, your stuff, I don't want to hear about it, because I was a science major and I like experience to see the result. I don't, you know, that thing about, you know, God didn't have any sense for me in my life. So because I was brought up like that. Then when I received that letter, it was kind of a surprise for me, and I get a little bit scared because I thought it was one of those, you know, cults again that took her, because I knew that she was Christian. Now that she said she is born again. Anyway, that term was kind of scary for me. Born again. I'm like, okay. I have to see her so that she can tell me what does that mean. So I went back to where she was, and I talked to her. I said, what? She said, no. Be careful. This time I'm very serious. You know, this is the true thing. I didn't know that. I didn't know what it means to be saved. Now I'm saved. And so with that, I was like, come on, what's going on? I was the one who used to tell her things, you know, because, you know, I was a bit more mature. And she was very nice to me, and everything I said, she was just, yes, yes. But at that time, she was the one trying to show to me that, you know, that God thing, saving, was the true thing. Anyway, so he told me, okay, you better go and talk to Dr. Hawking. So I agreed. I went to talk to him, and he tried to present the way of salvation to me. Anyway, I went because she told me to go. It was not because I wanted to hear about it. I just want to make her, you know, feel good. So he talked to me, and I was nice to him too, because I didn't argue. You know, it was just, you know, just to make sure that I did what she said. So we stay like that. He kept saying, you know, the little time that we stayed together, I kept trying to, you know, push that, but it was not my thing. So when she left to come to the here in the state for the school, something happened in my life at that time, because I went to say goodbye to her, and she was my only very good friend. And when she left, it was kind of emptiness on me. You know, I felt like a bit lonely, even though I was in grad school already, because after, you know, I was in grad school, the agriculture school, it was, you know, I was a bit mature in school, intellectually, but I felt like, you know, left alone when she left. And then I decided now to think about, you know, all our conversation. You know, when you're alone, you can think about a lot of things. And then I thought about that thing, the Christian serving, you know, God. So I said, okay. You know, because she was no longer there. So I had something, you know. It looks like God just put my heart, you have something to think about now. That's, you know, the area where you used to explore your ego is not there, no longer there. You're alone now, so you have to think. So I thought about it and said, I have to go back and see Dr. Hawking again, you know, so he can really, really, you know, talk to me about the situation of God. So I went back to him, and first of all, when I got there at that time, she was not there. She said, okay, I'm glad that you came to visit us. Now you're going to stay with us. And as a matter of fact, you're going to stay in the room where she used to stay. I'm like, oh, this is nicer now. So I was already happy because she was not there. So they were like new friends at that time. And then I was ready to really listen to them. So I decided to stay awake. So every time we would talk, you know, morning, breakfast, we have a devotion, 8 o'clock, we have family devotion. And then he took me to, you know, I asked him again to talk to me about the situation. So he took me to a room and explained quietly, you know, took all his time to explain the way of salvation to me. Truly, I was still fighting, you know, it was still, you know, being, you know, about to graduate in engineering and agriculture, and somebody, you know, just tried to tell me, you know, so the fight was hard, it was strong, you know, I was like, come on, I don't really think what, you know, this thing is, why am I, you know, getting drawn to that thing? But anyway, I didn't say anything, and we stayed for a week, and I decided to go, you know, I told him I have to go this at the end of the week. He said, okay, no problem. And his wife asked me, do you like to just take Bible study? I said, man, yes, I'm glad to take a Bible study now. So she gave me a Bible study, explained to me how to do it. And then he said, okay, because you're going to need the Bible to, you know, really do your Bible study. He gave me the Bible. So I went back. In my school, I was living with three classmates, you know. So when I went back there, I had that desire already, really to understand that, because I sensed some kind of truth in all they were, you know, thinking about what she said, all he said to me, and I'm like, okay, I better study this now. So I started very good Bible study that she gave to me. So I was going to, you know, the Bible study used to send me to the Bible and listen. I remember my classmate coming to me three times, asking me what am I doing, you know, what is new with that, because we all knew about the Bible and God, but not, you know, seriously. I told them, no, now it's kind of serious, different. I just want to know exactly what is going on here, and finally let me alone. So I was reading, doing my Bible study, then I get to a verse that really, I would say, shake me. Truly, it was the verse on 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. I would like to read it. The verse says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resisted the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Then when I read that verse, I'm not going to lie to you, it was a different opening that I got in my life, because, you know, I was about to graduate from a grad school. I knew what I was going to be. So for me, truly, you know, all the people telling me things like God things, you know, it didn't really make sense to me. So I thought that I was, you know, up there. I don't need that, you know. And then when I wrote that verse, I saw Dr. Hawking, saw my fiance, wife now, you know, I saw how, you know, inside me, I was really, really proud of myself. I didn't, you know, there was not those who was supposed to tell me anything, because I thought I knew a lot. And then I realized right away that I was kind of stupid at that time, because truly, I got to an area where I got to compare, you know, all that I learned with all that is happening around me. according to all the Bible verse and the Bible study that I did, and I saw the reality of God in our life. And then I said to the Lord, I was stupid. I am stupid. God, I just give you my life, my entire life. You know, I know I'm a sinner, and I didn't, you know. So it was a blessing day for me, because I changed from that minute. And at the same minute, I said to the Lord, I'm going to serve you. I don't know how, but I'm going to serve you in this life. That same night. And then I called them and I told them about my salvation. And, you know, you can imagine the happiness and, you know, them telling, yeah, we already told her, you know, after a few days, it was a blessing. So that's how the Lord bring me, you know, into his family.
Amen. We've got a minute left, so we're going to have a question.
Yes.
I'm talking concerning the needs of the clinic. Obviously, money is a key need, but what about actual medical supplies? Is it possible in the event that someone could get medical supplies donated, could it be sent? I wondered about that.
Yes.
Something worth pursuing for those.
They do need instruments, of course, as well,
yeah.
But. As far as supplies are concerned, yes, indeed.
Particularly disposables and things like that are very valuable.
Yeah. And we are, it's pretty quick for them. They're leaving here Wednesday to get supplies. But we are leaving around the 10th of May, and we are willing to take supplies with us, even if we have to take extra suitcases.
Exactly.
We send supplies and things like that, when there are a lot of them, through Men for Missions in Greenville, South Carolina.
That would be wonderful. That's the main thing they're missing right now is medicines. And it's through the sale of medicines. They try, if they pay a dollar for medicines, they might sell them for $1.10 or $1.15. It's that extra that they use, that she uses to pay the worker. She has five people that help her in the medical clinic, and she can tonight tell you exactly who those five people are and why they're there and what they are doing. She is the director. She is the only doctor there, but we do have a state nurse there as well. But she has very generously refused to take any salary. So any little bit that she gets, then she divides among the five people that are working there so that they'll be happy. You know, it's hard for people to be happy when they don't receive any salary at all. And so she doesn't receive any salary, but she divides that up among the other five people who are there. Just like Joseph, who doesn't receive a salary from the seminary. But we thank the Lord also for Grace Bible Mission, that is helping them in order to be able to exist so that they don't have to have to take that salary and to help those who are working in the medical clinic. One more question? Yes.
I'll let her answer that. Go ahead, Serena.
It's better to come home here because it's more expensive at home. Yeah, if you keep it private.
Well, Grace Bible Mission has taken it as a project. They have certain things that are officially approved. I have learned by being a member of the Grace Bible Mission that there are certainly a lot of restrictions of the American government concerning things. They have to be approved. The project has to be approved. And that is an approved project, medical equipment, and we are presenting that to others as well to be able to get medical equipment. And once we have a lot of equipment, then we'll go through Men for Missions in Greenville and send it out through a container. And by the way, we have received authorization from the Prime Minister of the country that we will be able to bring in all of that equipment customs free. In fact, they're going back right now. And if we can just get through to the telephone to the Prime Minister, he promised me on the 22nd of November, our 50th anniversary in Africa, he promised me that anything that we would bring through on the plane, if we will tell him the name of the plane, like is it Air France, is it Brussels Airlines, is it Swiss Air, name of plane, name of the flight, the date of arrival and the time of arrival, he will send a representative out to the airport and let everything that we bring through in customs free.
What would be helpful would be a list of the kind of things, for instance, that we could,
I think she can give that
She can give you that list.
Yeah,
she's already prepared the list before. She'll just make a photocopy of that, and we can send that to you. If she doesn't have it here, we'll send it to you from Oldsmar.
Thank you, Brother Hocking, for that presentation. Joseph, Sylvienne, and Betty, we're going to hear from you later on, too. I hope in the course of the day we have many things to look forward to. Let's stand together for prayer, shall we? Father, thank you that you are the Lord of the harvest. Thank you that the Spirit of God is working, saving souls, accomplishing his purpose. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that we've heard this morning. And Lord, for the fact that indeed your Spirit is moving and working, and Lord, bringing souls to Christ, and how we can be laborers together with God. We pray for your word as we will prepare to receive a blessing from Brother Don as he shares the word of God in our morning service. Lord, we have so much to look forward to this day.